Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. All things Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to yet another road trip this week. Be the third road trip for Mississippi State this season. And I guess looking forward to, another sport merging in here. You know, went and interviewed Ben Howland and some of the Mississippi State men's basketball players yesterday, and have a press conference with Vic Schaefer today. So basketball is right around the corner, and practice will get started here over the weekend.
It is that overlapping time of year. You know, the practice gets going and the games in about a month. Those exhibitions will come around early in November. I think the busiest time, Logan, is the spring.
It is.
Where recruiting, that's going to be different this year with the early signing day. But typically you have recruiting, spring football and baseball, and maybe some basketball still just kind of all converging there. Hey, we're going to talk about that here in just a moment, folks. Before we get there, I want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts to be on the lookout for from the Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi, coming to you every Wednesday and Friday with Chris Kiefer and Derek Russell. And be sure to check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. That comes to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here with you each week with Double Coverage. Before we get into football, the Bulldogs coming off a loss at Georgia. Where are they this week, Logan?
At Auburn.
Auburn, that's right. Yeah, okay, I lost it there for a second. Yeah, at Auburn. Okay, the Rebels are in Alabama as well, in Tuscaloosa, in what has become the traditional 8 p.m. time slot for that game. You can just mark it down. When the Rebels are in Tuscaloosa, it's going to be 8 o'clock, which means 8:15 or so with ESPN. Big news this week, the college basketball scandal, bribes, corruption, AAU teams, assistant coaches. This is not an NCAA thing. This is FBI. This means jail, you know, if these people are convicted. Normally, cases like this are not brought publicly unless the investigators are really sure about what they have. So we'll see where this all goes. You know, big news coming out on Wednesday with the resignation. Well, excuse me, not resignation. He's on leave with pay right now. Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino, but that typically is a precursor to, you know, a resignation, a firing, a change. So Rick Pitino certainly appears on the way out at Louisville. This college basketball thing is going to be getting bigger. I haven't heard an Ole Miss connection with it yet. We'll see where that goes. Logan, a lot of people thought about Mississippi State when this news came out because they are an Adidas school, and Adidas was at the forefront of this investigation. Is there a connection to be made there?
Other than the fact that Mississippi State's an Adidas school, that's the only one that I can make with it. I mean, obviously, you know, Ben Howland has, you know, ties to Adidas and has had that for years. But, you know, we asked him about it yesterday during that press conference that I mentioned earlier, and he said that he had no comment at this time, and, you know, because of the ongoing investigation, you know, with the FBI, but, you know, he would offer no further comment on it. But, you know, I checked around to see if I could get some type of statement from Mississippi State or John Cohen or Ben Howland, and you know, they just said there were no ties. There was no reason to make a statement because, you know, they're not implicated in any of the matters. So there's no reason to make a statement, you know, if they're not involved.
Well, this is being described by many as just something that's going to alter the landscape of college basketball. And certainly it looks like that at the front, like it has that potential. You know, one of the assistant coaches being charged is Chuck Person at Auburn. And of course, you have the Bruce Pearl connection there, and Bruce Pearl already having been in trouble with the NCAA. This is not an NCAA investigation at this point, but certainly, you know, something to keep an eye on there with Auburn. Logan, what I think about is the trickle-down effect. If this really does level the playing field, level the court, so to speak, in terms of talent being spread out across the country, not all of the biggest high school players in the game going to the biggest schools, you know, how might that affect schools like Mississippi State and Ole Miss? If you have like one John Wall, so to speak, who does not sign with Kentucky, you know, and maybe he goes to Kansas or Duke or somewhere else, but then maybe there's a five-star kid there that goes somewhere else. If this really does, you know, break things up in terms of the influence that these shoe companies have on the game, you know, there could be a trickle-down effect with players like that showing up at other schools.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at just, you know, even if there was a tie-in with Mississippi State, let's just look at what's kind of happened over the last couple of years since Ben Hallin's been there. You know, his first blue chip type assignee was Malik Newman, whose father played at Mississippi State and was from Mississippi. You look at Mario Kegler, who signed out of Oak Hill Academy, but was originally from Jackson, Mississippi. Then recently they've got a five-star commitment for this upcoming class in Reggie Perry, whose father also played at Mississippi State. So, you know, there's some ties that, you know, the highest recruits that State's gotten, there are ties there. I mean, so there's not like that they're pulling in these players just, you know, miraculously signing them. I mean, obviously there's some ties there, and, you know, you can kind of make those connections.
Well, when you guys were on the record with Ben Hallin, what did y'all discuss about this coming basketball season?
He was really excited about it, and he said this has been the best off season since they've had since he's been there, and just talks about the cohesiveness, and he really likes the culture of this team. It just sounds like they've got there's really not any bad apples in the bunch. You know, the team's getting along better. They've got some talent. He's been really, really excited about Abdullah Du since he signed him last year. Of course, he was academically ineligible because of his transcript, you know, from, I think it was Nigeria. And he's, you know, he's going to be eligible to play immediately this year. That gives him a 6'11", big, strong, powerful five guy. And he can move well enough to play the four if he needed to. And he talked about just the strength of the team being in the backcourt. He had six guards that he felt very, very good about. And he's going to interchange those guys in the backcourt. And he's going to play players at multiple positions. They only have 11 scholarship players right now because of Garrison Brooks asking for his release and signing with North Carolina. And then, of course, Mario Kegler leaving to go to Baylor. So they're short a couple of scholarship players. So to kind of counteract that, they're going to move some guys around and have to play some multiple positions. But he felt as good as about this team, you know, better than he has the two previous ones. And if you look at Ben Hallin's past, year number three has been very, very successful at all of his other three previous stops. So we'll have to see if that trend continues.
Ole Miss will get started Friday as well. Lots of excitement for some players returning on this roster. Point guard Brian Tyree, swingman Terrence Davis, very athletic Davis, a high scorer, rebounder, energetic player. But if there's one area the Rebels need to improve, it's going to be in scoring from their four, from the power forward spot. And they think Jones County Junior College transfer Bruce Stevens can provide that at about 6'8", 250 pounds. They look at him as a guy who can score on the perimeter also. Three other new components of this team to keep an eye on: shooting guard Devontae Shuler, a freshman, graduate transfer Markel Crawford, who comes over from Memphis and can do a lot of things, can score, rebound, can create his own shot. And also a big man transfer from Drake, Dom Olenashevic. I'm sure that is pronounced incorrectly. I'm going to try and get as close to it as I can, but for now I'm going to throw that out there and see if it sticks. Dom Olenashevic, 7 feet, a guy who will likely step in and replace Sebastian Saiz. Won't be the same kind of player. Don't look for him to be the impact on offense that Saez has been the last few years, particularly stepping out and shooting the threes as Saez did last year. But Olenichevic is a guy that you should expect to rebound and somebody to defend the basket, back to the basket, blocking shots, altering shots when people attack the rim. So anyway, a lot of excitement for this Ole Miss team, and we'll see how things play out. But basketball gets underway with practice on Friday. Shifting gears a little bit, talking football. Logan, take us back to Mississippi State at Georgia. You knew that was going to be a difficult game. I'm always of a mind that you really don't learn about these teams until October. You see things play out, and it's not just about how this one team is playing, whether it's Mississippi State or Ole Miss, but, you know, you look at their wins. Are they quality wins? And you look at that LSU game for State right now, and I see complete dominance, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But I think it loses a little bit of luster with how the Tigers played against Syracuse and what happened to the Bulldogs in Athens. But, you know, tell us about that game a little bit and what went wrong there.
Well, everything that I said positive about Mississippi State in last week's podcast – just kind of reverse that, and that's exactly what happened in Athens. It was just a you know, State dominated LSU and got whipped at Georgia. And it really started right from the jump. Mississippi State got the ball first, and on their first play, they tried a little pass. You know, Nick Fitzgerald grew up wanting to play in that stadium. I'm not sure his emotions were all over the place, you know, as he started that game. So it appeared that Dan Mullen really just wanted to get a little short pass to the running back, and try to get his confidence up, just get a little short completion and kind of get him going. Well, he completed the pass, but Aris Williams was stopped for a 6-yard loss. And to follow that up, they get a false start. So their first two plays, and they're behind the chains by 11 yards. And, of course, they end up punting. Georgia's first play from scrimmage is a flea flicker for a 59-yard touchdown. So, and it just kind of snowballed from there. State just never got back up off the mat. Georgia scores again real quick on their next drive. It's 14-0 all of a sudden, and Mississippi State just can't get anything going offensively. They could not run the ball, and their passing offense really got exposed in that game because they stayed, you know, third and long just about every possession, and they could not convert. They couldn't get past the chains. They couldn't get receivers open downfield. All they were able to do was kind of dump it off underneath, and they got stopped short of the chains. And it was just a nightmare. You know, Parrish, when we go do our rewinds on Sundays and on Sundays for the Monday paper, you know, we have to pick an MVP. And it's usually pretty easy. You have, you know, several candidates that played really well in that ball game, you know, to kind of choose from. And I really struggled trying to come up with anybody that played a good game in that one. And I ended up picking Nick Gibson, who entered the game in the fourth quarter and rushed five times for 52 yards. But, you know, the game was over at that point. And it was really a struggle to find anybody that played well. I thought about putting Jace Christman, the walk-on kicker, on there because he scored the only points, but he only stepped on the field one time during that game. So,
well, folks, that's just an example of the effort that goes into that rewind every Sunday, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we don't just slap that on the page. There's some thought that goes into that, you know, trying to review. But it was just an ugly game. I mean, State's defense, who had played so well those first three ball games, were they didn't have anything for Nick Chubb and Georgia's offense. The freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm, he's going to be a star. I was really impressed with his poise as a true freshman out there. And I don't know that Jacob Eason gets his job back. I mean, Jacob Eason came to Georgia as the number one quarterback prospect in the country last year. And, you know, he got hurt in that first ball game, and Jake Fromm's kind of taking it from there. So I don't know whenever Easton gets back healthy, which is, you know, right around the corner. He actually warmed up prior to the Mississippi State game. So he's close to getting back. And I don't know if he gets his job back, but, you know, this State, they've got some issues that they need to work out. And I don't think that it was necessarily as bad as what it appeared on Saturday night. I just think it was just the right night and the right recipe for Georgia. I don't think Mississippi State wins that game you know, under most circumstances, but I do think it's a lot closer. I don't think it was as bad as it appeared in Athens, and I don't think Mississippi State's as good as they showed against LSU. I think it's kind of somewhere in the middle, and I think this weekend at Auburn will be a pretty good gauge. I mean, obviously, it's another tough task to go to the Plains, go on the road, facing their third straight top 15 opponent. And, you know, it's going to be a struggle, you know, but I do think State is better than what they showed in Athens. I don't think they're quite as good as they showed against LSU. It's somewhere in the middle, but we got to kind of find whatever that middle ground is and see what this team's all about. But it's still early. Like you mentioned, it's late September. The calendar's just going to roll over into October. So, you know, we'll start to find out a little bit about State this weekend, and then they'll get a bye week going into some winnable games during the month of October.
Well, it's like I've always told my children, Logan, the truth is in the middle. You know, the truth is not usually on the extreme edge. It's usually in the middle. And the truth for Ole Miss right now is that two key players who were hurt in the 27-16 loss at Cal almost 2 weeks ago now are not completely healthy. Sean Rawlings, the center, probably not going to play. He's getting better, maybe back the following week at Auburn. A.J. Brown, the wide receiver, the leading wide receiver in the SEC right now, looks like he's going to play. Probably he'll be limited a little bit. But, it'll be interesting to see how he can plant and cut and, you know, how physical he can be as he plays through a strained MCL. So, anyway, good news that he will be available. He is a huge part of that offense. Logan, I've talked about these Ole Miss receivers a lot, how deep and talented they are. I do think they are a very good group, but A.J. Brown is clearly the best in that group right now. Maybe the others come along, but I don't know if it would have been a different outcome at Cal had Brown played the whole game, but I do think the offense would have looked different because he is their best chance to make that physical catch when a guy is guarded and can still make the catch, can win that battle against the defensive back. Brown is their best chance to do that and not only make that catch, but break a tackle and make a big play after that. So good news that he will be available against Alabama. Some other guys who were dinged up and needed that open date week to get healthy looks like will be better and I'll say well also, and that's kicker Gary Wunderlich. And even though Wunderlich has had some struggles this year, it was very different, the field goal team without him. So good that the Rebels will have him back. Also, Victor Evans, who I think has kind of been an overlooked man on the defensive line this year. He's played a little more than you might have thought he would back in August when Syracuse transfer Kadir Shepherd was getting more of the reps there. Then Shepherd had the foot injury. He's trying to play through that. I think you'll see his role increase against Alabama. But Evans has really played well, has been a good tackler, and has been a guy who has made some plays behind the defensive line. One guy we've not heard a lot from as far as making plays behind the defensive line, I think it's because teams are so aware of him, is Marquise Haynes on the other end. And one thing that teams are doing to neutralize the Haynes effect in the backfield is the short passing game. You're seeing teams go to it more and more. Cal was very successful with that quick release, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, and Wesley McGriff was very content to give up those slants to cover them the best that he could. And sometimes those Ole Miss players would get a pass breakup, but he'd rather give up the coverage, give up the yards on the slant than give up big plays. But anyway, that quick passing game, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, has kind of negated the big plays from Marquise Haynes in the backfield. Before the Cal game, it was Tennessee Martin, and those guys just didn't throw the ball much at all because they were having so much success running straight at Ole Miss. The Rebels, that was the Rebels' worst run defense game of the season so far. Now, they'll have their biggest challenge in that area Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. Alabama comes in averaging 303.3 yards a game. Ole Miss giving up 184 on the ground right now. That's not great, but that's a lot better than 246, which is where they ended the 2016 season. This Alabama team will be the best collection of backs Ole Miss has seen. Damian Harris, the starter, and Bo Scarborough, the the backup, Harris at 221 and Scarborough at 235. So both of them big backs. Harris really has nice vision and cutback ability. You saw that at Vanderbilt on a 61-yard touchdown run when he just, you know, saw the middle, saw the hole close. Everything was clogged up there, and just a really nice ability to cut and get outside and then get to the end zone. So I think the most formidable rushing game that Ole Miss will have seen to date will be Friday night, excuse me, will be Saturday night, 8 o'clock, against number one Alabama there in Tuscaloosa. And Logan, I look at this game and look, for all the things that Ole Miss accomplished during the brief Hugh Freeze era, lots of big wins, you know, a dominating Sugar Bowl victory, back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games, for all the things they accomplished, nothing gained this team more notoriety than beating Alabama. And beating Alabama not just once, but twice. And the second time winning there in Tuscaloosa, only the second win for Ole Miss in program history there in Tuscaloosa, the first since 1988. This is not a team that has a really good chance to go over there and do that. That 2015 team was a better defensive team. You had Robert Kimdichie collapsing the pocket. You had Mike Hilton in the secondary. You had more talent on the defensive side of the ball. And you also had Alabama unsettled at quarterback, and that led to some turnovers. Look, Ole Miss forced some of those turnovers with pressure on the pocket, but you had Cooper Bateman starting that game, Jake Coker coming off the bench. That's not the case for Alabama right now. They're very settled at quarterback with sophomore Jalen Hurts, and he's an effective passer, but an outstanding runner and someone Ole Miss is really going to have to try to contain in the game Saturday night. So there is a path to success for this Ole Miss team. There are a lot of objectives along the way. There are very difficult objectives. An Ole Miss offensive line that gave up 5 sacks at Cal. Again, being without center Sean Rawlings, is going to have to somehow protect Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson is going to have to make better reads. He's going to have to make better reads quicker because this will be the fastest defense he's seen. And these wide receivers, A.J. Brown being back is a help. But the rest of these guys are going to have to make plays beyond the minimum, beyond the average catch. They're going to have to make those big catches in traffic and do those things with more regularity as a group than we've seen so far. And lastly, it's going to be a difficult challenge for Ole Miss to run the football. Few teams are running it with any measurable success against Alabama. And Ole Miss comes into this game number 128 in America in running the football. Only one team is rushing with less success than Ole Miss. That's 0-4 UTEP right now. The Rebels come in averaging 69.7 yards on the ground. Offensive coordinator Phil Longo will tell you that, you know, the numbers really aren't that important to him. You know, that he measures the run game in different ways. He measures it in what his backs can do with a short pass or what the run game can do to set up something in the passing game down the road. Bottom line is you're averaging 69.7 yards. When you hand off the football, you've got to be more efficient than the Rebels are being right now. So there are all those things that have to fall in place, I think, for Ole Miss to pull off a shocker in Tuscaloosa. And in addition to that, they need Alabama to make some mistakes. Turnovers, those have been critical in the times Ole Miss has beaten Alabama recently, and Alabama comes into this game on a streak of 550 plays without a turnover. So Hurts, the sophomore quarterback, protecting the ball very well. Logan, it's a long shot for the Rebels to win in Tuscaloosa. I'm looking at it as maybe 40-13 Alabama. What do you see for Mississippi State and Auburn?
Yes, it's not quite that much of a long shot for State to beat Auburn, but it is a tall task indeed. And yeah, for Mississippi State, it's kind of a different tale than it was here in Starkville last year. Kerryon Johnson started that game in Starkville last year and got hurt early on. I think he only had 3 carries in that game. And they kind of brought Cameron Petway, who kind of had a coming out party against Mississippi State last year. He ended up carrying 39 times for 169 yards and three touchdowns against Mississippi State last year. And they just had no answer. I mean, obviously State was much different defensively a year ago with Peter Sermon calling the shots as the defensive coordinator. But, you know, Auburn just kind of rode Cameron Petway the whole way, just kind of grinded out that win. You know, they ended up winning that ball game 38-14, and it wasn't even as close as that. I mean, it seemed, you know, I mean, it was – Auburn scored 14 points in the first quarter, 21 points in the second quarter. So they did most of their damage early and just kind of coasted from there. And, you know, this time around, it's going to be – it's Cameron Petway that's a little banged up going into this game. You know, the last thing I saw that he would probably play. So they may rely on Kerryon Johnson a little bit more. And obviously he's a different style of runner. He's more of a scat back, and Petway at 235 pounds is a load. And, you know, Auburn's a little bit different offensively in the fact that Jared Stidham is their quarterback. And, you know, he's had some pretty good games, you know, obviously a highly touted quarterback, you know, from his days back at Baylor. And, you know, the problem with Auburn is they've just allowed so many sacks this year. Now, granted, a lot of those sacks came in that loss to Clemson that they had, but, you know, they've allowed 16 sacks already. And by comparison, Mississippi State's only allowed one sack the entire season. So, you know, that's something to watch. But Auburn's defense is really, really good. It's as good or maybe even better than what they saw last week against Georgia. And Mississippi State just could not get the ball going downfield, you know, in the running game. Aris Williams got bottled up. He only had 12 yards rushing last week. Nick Fitzgerald was limited to 83 yards passing last week. And Mississippi State just doesn't have a wide receiver, a big, tall guy like, you know, some of those guys that Ole Miss have. They can kind of stretch the field and go vertical. Mississippi State, most of their wide receivers are 6 foot and under. And they've got some tall receivers on the roster, 6 foot four, Reggie Todd, Osiris Mitchell, and Jamal Couch. All three of those guys are listed at 6 foot four, but they're only in their second year in the program and just really haven't made that next jump. A lot of those guys were young players, didn't really have a whole lot of football experience. They knew that when they signed them, they were going to be projects. So and they're still in that projecting phase. And they really need those guys to step up and help them move the chains downfield and make some of those big catches where, you know, they tried to go to Donald Gray some last week, and Donald Gray is 5'11", and he's the same size as the cornerbacks, and he just can't go up and get those, you know, back shoulder throws, high throws. So they need some guys to step up and help Nick Fitzgerald in that passing game. And nothing would help them more than actually being able to run the football. But as I mentioned, that's going to be a tall task against Auburn. They're one of the tough best teams in the nation at tackles for loss. So they've got a real challenge ahead of them this weekend.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast, All Things Northeast Mississippi, with Derek Russell and Chris Kiefer, every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs every Wednesday with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another round of Double Coverage.